Sure you've had enough this life.
Today is National Mental Health Day, and all this week The Wire will be bringing you a special series shining a light on different parts of our community and what special challenges they face when it comes to mental health. Today, Annie Hastwell takes a look at the often hidden and growing problem of depression in the elderly.
There are a lot of depressing aspects to getting old, illness, pain, and losing loved ones for a start. So depression in the elderly is often assumed to be just a normal reaction to that time of life. But with up to 15% of people over 65 suffering from the debilitating mental health state, depression in this age group is starting to look like something that needs to be taken notice of.
My feeling has been that the mental health of older people is almost like the least sexy part of medicine that you could possibly consider, and so it does tend to be neglected.
Dr. Sally Rishbeth is a consultant psychiatrist working in the Older Persons Mental Health Service in Adelaide. She says depression is less easy to spot in the elderly than in younger age groups.
It can be difficult to distinguish sometimes from dementia, and it also can come along at the same time as a physical illness. GP or the other doctor or nurse or whatever might treat the medical illness, but then find that the person still has strong feelings of anxiety or depression which aren't getting better. They can find it difficult to walk, can stop talking, reduce their eating and their drinking. And we do see from time to time someone who becomes what we call catatonic, when they're really unable to respond to anything.
For the family, a diagnosis of depression can change everything. Mignon Cliff's mother was in her 80s when she came out of a series of physical infections, quite changed mentally.
Before, very vibrant, independent, you know, happy, you know, lived on her own. She was always out, always chatting and talking on the phone, to somebody the exact opposite, very anxious, nervous, and physically, you know, shaky, can't make decisions, introverted, can't, you know, no conversation, no interest in what other people are doing, just really focused on her own mental health and her own day-to-day existence, I suppose.
Mignon and her siblings have found their own lives turned upside down.
Trying to find the right antidepressant for a start is difficult. It might work for a certain time, a short term, and then, you know, then she sort of crashes.
And you've even resorted to electroshock treatment. What effect did that have?
Initially it was good. Terrible to see someone going through that, because, well, quite upsetting to see. But the short-term benefits were, you know, was great, but it's been only short-term.
So. Okay, short-term, but what did you notice straight away? How different was she afterwards?
Very, very up, very, you know, driven to do things, you know, sort of to the over-the-top stage, and also maybe even a bit aggressive with it. Yeah, so was it her personality? Was it didn't return her to her old self? It just was like she was plugged in and overcharged.
So after a couple of years of trying different treatments and nothing, it seems, hitting the spot, do you feel like you're ever going to get your mother back the way she was?
No, I don't think so. No, her personality seems to have gone, which is really sad. You know, I said something to her today, you know, and I said, you used to say that all the time. Very, you know, vacant, I guess. It's sad.
The darker end of depression in the elderly is the risk of suicide. Dr. Sally Rishbeth again.
It is a considerable issue. The group that are most likely to succeed in committing suicide are elderly men, ones over 85. And the ones that are most likely to succeed are the people who are isolated, have severe pain, might be using alcohol and other medications to self-medicate. And these people are most likely to succeed at killing themselves. So that's a risk. But the other thing to bear in mind is that most elderly people aren't depressed, and if someone does seem sad for a very long time after a partner has died, or if other losses have occurred, it's not necessarily a normal part of ageing. It could be something that could be more addressed and successfully treated.
David Panter is CEO of not-for-profit aged care provider Elderly Citizens Homes. He says there are practical ways to make life less depressing for older people.
Well, I don't think it has to be a fact of life at all. I think it's about the environment in which people are actually living and how they're experiencing their lives.
David Panda says research has shown that people in their housing units are able to stay independent significantly longer. And he says it's all about addressing one of the highest risk factors for elderly depression, social isolation.
Our houses tend to be in little clusters. They get classed as retirement villages, but they're not the grand retirement villages that are gated with resort-style facilities. They're usually just a cluster of anywhere between half a dozen and a dozen or so houses on a main street. And that sense of neighbourliness and social connection is one of the key factors that prevents people from deteriorating and retaining a sense of wellness. For example, we design our houses, our independent living units, so that the main bedroom is at the front of the house. And we do that because we know that as somebody becomes older and frailer, they may well spend more time in bed. But actually being able to see the street scene from their window, even just seeing kids playing, is a boost to their sense of well-being. So even things like design can really help as well.
Nursing homes are a big risk factor in the elderly depression picture. The figures jump threefold for people who are in care.
Within Australia, we do have a particular tendency, sort of fairly high rates of admissions into nursing homes compared to other developed countries. And it's not because people are ageing with different issues overseas in other countries. It's about the availability of services. It's about the attitudes. If you look at Scandinavian countries, then, you know, five or six times as many people manage to carry on living until they die in their own home than they do in Australia.
So ageing in company, ageing in your own home, both of them are good plus factors for not
Absolutely.
Getting depressed.
That's right. It's about retaining that sense of wellness, retaining a sense of being valued.
You always hear about the burden of the grey tsunami or the silver tsunami without really sort of considering how much that people, you know, can add to the well-being of the community. It's all negative, and given that most of us are hoping to actually achieve an old age, I think we should start turning things around a bit.
Dr. Sally Richbirth, consultant psychiatrist for the Older Persons Mental Health Network, ending that report by Annie Hastwell.